AI and emerging world is fascinating. It's offering us opportunities, it's creating challenges, and it's happening very, very fast. Now, how is this world happening? What is happening in this world? What are the developments? What are the challenges? What are the use cases for privacy, security, and risk? And how will it impact us? Will it impact us in future? Or is it already impacting? And if it's in future, when will that future be? Well, all these are fascinating questions. And we are going to have a wonderful conversation with owner Kuruku, who is a dear friend and an expert in cybersecurity, data protection, digital trust. She leads tech, and she's also the chair for IIPP KnowledgeNet in Dublin. And let's go and talk to owner.
Hello, and welcome to the Fit for Privacy podcast with Punit Bhatia. This is the podcast for those who care about their privacy. Here, your host, Punit Bhatia, has conversations with industry leaders about their perspectives, ideas, and opinions relating to privacy, data protection, and related matters. Be aware that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are not legal advice. Let us get started.
So here we are with Onur. Welcome to the Fit for Privacy podcast, Onur.
Thank you very much for having me, Punit.
It's a pleasure to have you, and I'm very happy that you are here. And I already explained that you are a multi-skilled person with lots of experience. But tell us something about yourself so that people can know more about you.
Okay, thank you very much again. Actually, I'm an information security, compliance, and privacy professional focused on emerging technologies for information security and data protection topics. And of course, now we are talking about emerging technologies such as AI, blockchain, and cloud technologies too. On the top of my engineering degree, I put another degree with this LLM in information technology law, and I also completed a business analytics executive program, master's program in University of Cambridge. So I basically focused on cybersecurity. Cybersecurity always my first love, but after all, I got my second degree, this LLM degree. I focused on data protection area so much. And of course, in my master's degree, we are focused on big data, data analytics. So I just try to cover up, make an ultron together all this knowledge and experience. And maybe I can mention about something like that. I have started my professional life and continued in professional services companies such as KPMG, PwC, and Grant Thornton. I had opportunity to work in as a part senior management and experienced consultant in different world geographies. Now I am living in Dublin. And after I moved to Dublin, I was working with Grant Thornton, especially in technology advisory area. And now I am global vice president of a consulting department in one of Microsoft partners. And we are focused on AI, robotics, and automation solutions, and also provide some infrastructure services with a focus on security and data protection. We have offices in Europe, UK, Middle East, Turkey, and one of them is in US, Palo Alto. And also, I'm on the advisor board to different companies. They are data protection technology solution companies. So actually, I'm trying to be, you know, active in all these areas. So I can add that I am a co-chair IIPP Ireland. And also, of course, Women in Tech is really so important for us. And I am a global ambassador for Women in Tech. I try to join, speak, and support all women in this area.
Okay, that's wonderful. So as you are multi-skilled, and as you mentioned, emerging technologies, AI, crypto, Bitcoin, and robotics, and machine learning, deep learning, everything is happening. But in your perspective, when you're talking to your clients, or as you see from your different masters, what do you see happening in this AI or emerging tech world, if we call it like that?
Actually, this week, you know, it's really intense week for us because the EU AI Act is now guaranteed to be adopted within coming months. And the EU becomes the first continent to set clear rules for the use of AI. So this is really important for us because it means that for us, in the EU part, we will do lots of things in the next year for AI compliance area. And this included how to regulate foundation models, what AI systems should be prompted. And you know that, for example, we can say there are lots of fake videos, there are lots of biometric identification systems like facial recognition systems, and they try to law enforcement should be allowed to use these kind of old technologies. And it seems that businesses that invest heavily in technologies are now considered prohibited or manage this kind of area. And additionally, we can maybe need to say that these transparency requirements may challenge intellectual properties protection too, because they are trying to balance between disclosure and retention to trade secrets. Maybe our audience can approve me too, because especially in last years, we had lots of this kind of challenges, especially in intellectual property area too. So this is important for us. And in coming days, again, most probably after Christmas, of course, it will be a big break for us. We should be able to read the version of the AI Act, which EU members, European Parliament and Commission all agree on. They celebrated it. You can see lots of this kind of news on the newspapers, on their, you know, magazines and everywhere right now. So most probably we will talk about it very long time next year. But Punit, I need to add something in here, because it, not just AI Act is important for us, because if we turn back to 2021 and come back again in 2023, at the end of 2023, we can see that they are going on really big digitalization program right now, the Commission tried to run. So they put lots of different cybersecurity and AI and privacy-focused acts in the last year. So, for example, one of them is DORA, Digital Operation Resilience Acts, and Cybersecurity Acts, and Digital Services Acts, and we are waiting for Data Governance Acts and something for the next year or the in 2025. So they will continue to put this kind of different and really strong digitalization acts in the, you know, coming years too. So it will be formally adapted before European parliamentary election in May. There will be a hard period to give organizations some time to comply. And on the subject of AI adaptation, which will continue to be talked about for a long time, companies also need to hire data quality, potentially increasing operational costs and fairness, and the, again, quality of artificial intelligence systems. Because especially in my company too, we are focusing on so much in AI area, but it is not so easy to manage everything at the same time, because, you know, we can manage, especially this general AI before this generative AI issues, but with open AI, it's a new era. Everything is changing. And after they put in force this legislation in the, you know, this year, most probably before summer, they try to adapt it and they try to manage it with a different way, because in every minute, you can see that AI enhanced improve itself. So if you just try to manage everything, just a stable rules or just a stable regulations, it is impossible. So if you want to manage this kind of every minute, every second developing issues like AI, you need to improve, you need to enhance your regulations every minute, every second too. So you know that our brains need to break, because there are just so much AI information, and try to stay on the top of it. And especially the Commission published an incredibly helpful and comprehensive way documents on the AI Act. We can see that on that the inception of AI Act rooted the necessary to balance of benefits of AI, and such as improved medical care education with the need to mitigate inherent risks, for example. And one of the key aspects of the AI Act identified by the Commission, it's broad applicability, because they're always asking these kind of questions. Is it just for European side, or is it just for, you know, this kind of part of geography in the world? Actually, it is like that. It encompasses both public and private entities, within and outside the EU, as long as the AI systems is marketed in the EU or affects individuals within it. And this includes AI systems providers, deployers, and importers, all of them. And the Act also covers developers of general purpose AI models, which are becoming integral to numerous AI systems or AI platforms, to hence too significant to remain unregulated. So there are lots of different issues is coming on the way. Of course, if you read a little bit, these regulations, you can see that if you are not a lawyer or if you are not a part of this legal perspective issues, it is really so hard to understand everything. It's really complicated right now. But maybe we can summarize something like this way. For high-risk AI systems, a conformity assessment is required to before market introduction, ensuring compliance with standards for trustworthy AI. Especially, you can see in Big Four or this kind of really niche consultancy area, they always use these words, trustworthy AI. It means that everybody knows, of course, from GDPR aspects, the traceability, transparency, and all these kind of aspects is really important for data protection. They just try to put this kind of really key indicators in AI compliance area. So the trustworthy AI, really special and important word for us too. So it means that such as data quality, documentation, transparency, and human oversight. So post-market, these systems must undergo continuous risk management and incident reporting. The Act also imposes specific obligations on providers of general purpose of AI models again. So maybe we can risk-based used to manage everything at this stage to risk-based approach, differentiating between users AI that create, a high risk, low risk, or minimum risk. So they just try to classify everything in this way. But maybe I can say this too. Yeah, this is perfect news for us because everybody, especially everybody knows and sees very spectacular news on LinkedIn or this kind of social media platform, because World Economic Forum shared lots of different videos and asked the world, can you stop develop AI for 6 months at the beginning of this year? They were very, feeling very uncontrolled technology issues. You can feel their concerns about that. But after all, there are really big challenges in this act too, because they try to classify something like facial recognition, or if any platform or applications, AI-based applications, AI-based platforms, use your information, PIIs, to profiling or manipulating data. They try to prohibit these applications, but there are really big issues, because how can we segregate, how can we eliminate these, applications, platforms, or technology solutions? It's really hard to manage after all. And again, in this year, all this long, in 2023, AI specified generative AI. It seems like everyone has played around with large language models, and without words, we can say 100 million weekly active users like ChatGPT has practically become a household name. And it's just $20, if I'm not wrong. If you pay this money, ChatGPT can open really big server area for you, and you can get whatever questions you have, the answers from it. And so teachers, politicians, talk show hosts, the bus driver, maybe your grandparents, maybe use LLMs for going beyond Googling and all bits, but those day-to-day, use cases we stretch to the surface of possible. And so digging deeper, folks working close to tech area using breadth of AI tools to transform productions and reimagine businesses to deliver customer experience in ways previously unimaginable. So it is really so hard. It will be very hard to manage everything with this way, I think.
I would agree with you. I think it is already very hard with the existing legislation, and with more legislation coming up, it'll become tougher and tougher. But in that multiple, what do you say, legislative landscape, and legislation almost for everything, everything you have to do, there's a legislation for that. How do you recommend companies or organizations to navigate this multi-landscape, multi-legislative landscape? Because you cannot have a project for privacy, a project for AI, then a project for Digital Governance Act, then for DORA, then for everything, because it's going to be too much. Then you're always always busy with compliance, and the cost of compliance will go very, very high. Of course, the banks can afford it, probably, or at least are having to carry on with the overburden of compliance or overburden of legislation. But not every organization can do it, especially the small and medium-sized or the not so multinational companies. So how are you recommending, how are you advising them to take care of this compliance? Let's say not the burden, but compliance aspect of it.
Yeah, actually, Punit, there are lots of different challenges right now, especially for the, you know, large size and the medium sized companies. Because, for example, in DORA, you can see that they put a proportionality aspects inside of it. And if your company is not a big size or medium size, you can eliminate some compliance issues this way. But I really like to share this information, because last week we tried to explain something in different events. McKinsey did a really good survey about this kind of new tax area. When performing this assessment in the impact our businesses, we should keep in mind that as the technology is rapidly improving and many skills may reach top human level by late 20s, 2020s maybe we can say, or earlier, but the initial estimation was that for AI and all these emerging technologies could only reach some capabilities such as creativity, logical reasoning, and problem solving, social and emotional reasoning by 2060 or 2070. But the development of AI and emerging technologies has been going so fast after generative AI. The predictions are completely changed, and most of these capabilities are already achieved, and it's a matter of years or maybe months for generative AI to perform the top of quartile. So this is really so important for us, because it means that we were waiting some improvement or, you know, feature issues in 2060, but now you can see the effects. And so just in 5 years or 10 years, they were coming in our life. So of course the companies need to be ready for that. But my advice for these kind of companies, if they will invest in any area in cybersecurity or data protection, they need to combine something together. So if you try to buy different, you know, applications, tools, or this kind of all tech issues, you cannot orchestrate everything in the same time. And it is really so important to make all these harmonizations together in your infrastructure. So if you will invest in your data protection side in your company, if you want, you know, enhance or empower in this area, you need to get something AI-based data protection after all. It means that, for example, if you will use again just workflows or data mapping, you know, this kind of very basic in tools, it means that in the future, your employees, of course we are employees, everybody asks some questions like this way in today's to me, will we use our job in the future? Of course you will lose your job, because AI is coming. And for example, they don't want to put people in repetitive and the basic jobs. They want to change this human efforts in a generative way, or in a they try to put people in a good effort way, or if they in a creative way. Mm-hmm. So of course they will lose their job in this area, but we need to mention, this is so important in here, if you will invest somewhere, you are still working together with human, and there will be lots of human errors, and this human will use internet. So if they will still and continue to use internet, you will have lots of AI errors again in the future, maybe in 5 years. So Of course, you need AI-based solutions right now. In every way, I mean, not just security or privacy, in marketing area or in HR area or whatever, in the corporate or financial area, you need that. So they need to be clever and they need to invest their money in the good area. This is, I mean, I think this is the most important thing right now. But on the other hand, the another thing is training, because lots of people are not so ready for AI development. And in the future, of course, in the near future, I mean that, they will use lots of this kind of solutions in their company. So they need to train, they need to understand their people skill set in their companies. After all, they will have lots of really big difference between generations, because lots of people working in a company. And if you ask something about AI, the Generation Z, most probably they are so familiar with that. But we have really, you know, boomers, people working in our companies. So we need to break this bias between this distance between these generations. This is another issue. So training and understanding their skill set, I think, another main point after all.
Okay, so if, I mean, I have a slightly different view. I don't think AI will take away our jobs, but AI will change our jobs. And if we stay with the repetitive jobs, then it will go away. But if we are open and if we want to change, then it's okay. But yes, AI will become an assistant. So I will not have to write minutes of meetings. I will not have to plan my meetings. I would not need to hire an assistant per se. I will have AI as assistant. But how can we use AI specifically in the context of, because you're also a cybersecurity and privacy expert or a risk expert, how can we use this AI to assist us? You mentioned a few use cases like data mapping, analyzing your data, making a view of your data. So all those things can be automated. But what are the specific use cases in security, privacy, or risk that we can implement AI to make our lives easier? Because there are a lot of things we struggle with. And those, I think, can be solved or made easier by AI.
Actually, Puneet, you're right. Some people will lose their job, but it's not losing. They just convert it. They just try to switch everything with a different way. Because, for example, remember, at the beginning of GDPR stage, everybody just started to talk about, we will have a DPO role right now. So look at it. All over the world, there are lots of DPOs. We have another and very brand new area for people. And most probably in the future, we will talk about chief AI officer role, for example. So we will open very new role for really good skilled people all over the world. So you are right. These repetitive and main jobs will change. They will use basic AI systems for these efforts. But if you have really good skills, you don't need to waste your time this kind of repetitive, daily, and very basic jobs. I think this is very useful. But of course, if you can manage AI in the benefits of human, it is perfect. But we will see. We will see that, because this is the world and lots of different purpose of, you know, touch AI in the future. But maybe I can share some examples from one of my companies, because we are trying to convert everything in AI way right now in this data protection area. It is like that. We are trying to collect, understand, map the PII data from organizations if they sell or invest our productions. But after all, it is like that. We are using data. We can make a profile all these employees in one companies, and we can report back to this company's management people, the upper management teams. But after all, it is like that. If you are using data, it's like a traffic. In AI systems, it's like coming data and going out data. So if you can put a really good filter and taking the data from the outside of the companies and filter it and put the right aspects in your company, you can understand your PII's profile better than in a stable one. But of course, if you take in from internet world new data, you need to share inside data to outside too. But in that point, if you are familiar with machine learning, the most important issue is cryptography. So, for example, today, if you want to build or invest in a data protection, AI-based data protection solution For example, you need to ask, how cryptography solutions do you have? What is the main key issues in your cryptography area? So the other one, how can you manage or filter, or how can you secure your data transfer traffic? So we are just trying to put the right aspects and the self-learning aspects at the beginning stage when you collect the data. So after all, if you want to understand your profile of your employees, or if you want to understand your workflows and enhance it with the benchmark data from all over the world in your sector, you can use it. This is very useful, very pure data, and you can customize, you can anonymize, and you can make tailor-made it for your companies. So this is very, you know, useful. A little bit, of course, expensive if you compare with the old-fashioned way, but if you can manage and control this traffic, it will be perfect way. But the most you know, difficult issues, manage this traffic. We will see. We are working on it right now.
Yeah, I think the most difficult issue is here is first identifying the use cases. And when you identify a use case, to convert it into a format that machine can learn. And when the machine can learn, then to be able to feed the machine in a simple way. Because if you look at the Google Translator or Google Translate, it works when you have to translate normal text or maybe the website text. Mm-hmm. But if you give it some specific logic or something which is to be organized, like the recipe of a dish, then it struggles. And same thing with the ChatGPT. It can search perfectly and give us perfect answers from searching by the in the web. But as soon as you give it something logical, like a human can do, that at the moment is a struggle. But maybe with ChatGPT 5 or 4.5, when it comes, it'll improve. But you mentioned about ChatGPT. Do you see ChatGPT will become in near future something which people are using? Because I see more and more people using it already. So it's not in the near future. It's already in current present. What do you see like in ChatGPT and others?
Actually, if you use it at the beginning stage, or our audience used it before, at the beginning phase, it was ChatGPT was very effective. If I compare this daily right now in recent times, because there are lots of really bad traffic happening, lots of, you know, users just pushing up right now, so it's not working perfectly. But for example, again, maybe we can use some of these cases. There are lots of security problems about. For example, we are calling it hallucination. Hallucinations means that you can ask some questions to ChatGPT, but the data quality is main issues because it is going outside of your, you know, servers and asking it all over the world, search it and come back to you some different answers. And this quality of the data sometimes cannot be so good. So this hallucination is a problem for us. And on the other hand, in other things, for example, if you ask to ChatGPT or this kind of searching AI tools, for example, how can I invent an atomic bomb? It can answer to you if you ask it directly. Oh, sorry, I cannot answer these questions because it is really dangerous and we have some limitation or restrictions about this. But if you convert your questions like this way, oh, how can I help my grandma about atomic bombs? Because she needs to learn something about it, about the invention. It can give you some answers. So this is very tricky.
Yeah.
In my company, we just focus on this kind of areas because you can serve something to your clients, but the problem in here, you need to make clear and you need to make a really good quality of data, because they will ask lots of questions to your systems, and if you cannot provide them really clear data or clear answer, after all, yeah, you did something, but it's useless, and it can make the, you know, these companies solutions and these companies understanding or needs make a really big confusion about itself. And GDPR or data protection is really so important area for us, so we don't want to do some mess, this kind of thing. So ChatGPT will be useful again. It's a perfect start for all of us. It's really big inspiration for us. But I think most probably OpenAI planning something after this AI Act's put in force. So we will see lots of really good innovation in this area. I think it's a good start, but they will enhance lots of things after all. It's just a start.
I expect that also. But do you use ChatGPT, if I may ask?
Yeah, I'm using. Of course, everybody use that. I want to try it. When I heard it the first day, I get it in my computer and ask lots of different questions. I think the answers is really good at the beginning stage. If I compare again today's, it's a little bit slow right now.
It's very good. I'm trying to get into the personalized instance of ChatGPT, but right now I'm using the public one, and it's already very good. What I learn is the ChatGPT personalized version, especially the ChatGPT-4, that can also generate images and all, and that'll be more exciting.
Yeah, I totally agree. Actually, again, I'm saying it's a good inspiration for us too, because if you try to understand their working flows, it is really so basic. And of course, really big different kind of, you know, software innovation too. So they are very transparent about their, you know, working area too. So we used lots of different scripts and the main stages from their part. But we just try to convert everything in a data protection area right now. So we just try to put the GDPR aspects, requirements, and of course the local legal issues. Because, for example, you are living in a country and you have another local legislation issue. So we need to make a collaboration between all of these kind of aspects. Not so easy sometimes, because you know that they can make some restrictions on the top of different ones. But we are trying to prepare something, a self-learn software for data protection area. Hopefully we can do that, but I really like OpenAI works.
Yeah, I think while AI is learning about how to do things, we are also learning how to use AI. So it's a fascinating world in the coming months and years, because we will also have to adapt our way of working. Because what I've seen is when you're using ChatGPT, you have to really prompt, as you mentioned, you can ask, I want to make it learn for my grandmother, or you ask it directly. So when you ask it based on the context, it gives you a different answers. And the more smarter, the more specific you ask, the better the answers are. So it's always very nice. To wrap it up, I would say emerging technologies are coming. AI is here. ChatGPT is here. So it's not in the future. It's almost here. The acts are here. The legislation is here. The regulation is here. And we all need to learn to live in this new world of emerging tech, the deepfake world and the hallucination world and everything world. And we will need to be ready for it, because it's not going to stop. And nobody's going to give us 6 months or 1 year to get into this world. So the quicker we adapt, the quicker we learn, the easier it is for us. Would you have any final thought on that?
Churchill famously said, we shape our buildings and then they shape us. But I think the same could be said about AI we use, because from relying on AI language model apps over our memory and how texting has shifted this, which finger we use to switch the light. If you're under 30, of course, it's likely to be thumb, your index finger, but there are also many ways to both big and small that our lives right now influenced by tech, because that's what people using Alexa or this kind of technology solutions in their houses. And again, the potential of AI cuts both ways. It can help businesses skyrocket their efficiency or land a tangle of compliance pitfalls. The AI wave already arrived. So even if your businesses doesn't directly engage with the technology's challenges, it still braces itself for risks and that are already inside. So maybe I can share something like this way, because at the beginning of this year, Gartner shared something and I really like this word. We are shaping AI. AI is shaping us. So I think it is best words I heard this year, because yes, we created AI with a different software base, or it's coming from our all experience and knowledge from in the maybe 50 years or maybe 60 years before. But today's, this is AI time. It will shape us in the future. Hopefully, AI will do that in a good benefits and fair way in the future. Hopefully.
That's very well said, Onur. I think They say in philosophy or in self-help, we create habits and habits shape us. And that's what's happening. We are creating AI, as you said, and AI is shaping our society and ourselves. And that's how it's going to happen. And with that, I would say it was wonderful to have you. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts and inputs. And I wish you a very good day.
Thank you very much for having me. It was very nice to meet all of you and your audience. I wish you a healthy and good life, after all, with AI in the future.
Thanks for listening. If you liked the show, feel free to share it with a friend and write a review. If you have already done so, thank you so much. And if you did not like the show, don't bother and forget about it. Take care and stay safe. Fit for Privacy helps you to create a culture of privacy and manage risks by creating, defining, and implementing a privacy strategy that includes delivering scenario-based training for your staff. We also help those who are looking to get certified in CIPPE, CIPM, and CIPT through on-demand courses that help you prepare and practice for certification exam. Want to know more? Visit www.fitforprivacy.com. That's www.fit4privacy.com. If you have questions or suggestions, drop an email at hello@fitforprivacy.com. Until next time, goodbye.